This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. An environmental group's new report shows the broad range of contaminants in many drinking water systems in the Ohio Valley. As Nicole Irwin reports, the research highlights the gap between what regulations require and what health advocates recommend for drinking water purity.
Water is pumped from a clear well to the high service pump station here at Paducah Water. General Manager Bill Robertson says this is the cleanest water you'll find in the city.
The water is at its best quality when it leaves here. Then it has to go through pipes, it has to go through pumps, it has to go through tanks, it has to go through your plumbing at your house. And it can only do one thing, and that's degrade.
But clean as it is, a new report from public health advocates at the Environmental Working Group identified contaminants in Paducah's water that could pose health risk, even though the water system meets legal standards.
Legal doesn't necessarily mean safe.
That's EWG senior scientist Dr. David Andrews. His team created a scale based on highly protective California health standards at one end and less stringent federal guidelines at the other. The group then used water sampling data collected by utilities. The report shows the Ohio Valley is riddled with energy companies and chemical plants that rely on disinfectant byproducts to treat their wastewater discharges. The EWG site shows West Virginia with the most contaminants, with 83 chemicals flagged between 2010 and 2015. Ohio has 81 and Kentucky 56 contaminants.
I don't think there's anything specific that we're adding to that, except just collating all that information together and presenting it in a way that's accessible to consumers.
Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet spokesman John Mura has a problem with how it's presented.
It is misleading. Overall, I will say this. They're pairing Kentucky's levels with California guidelines, when we are held to maximum contamination levels set by the EPA.
Muir doesn't want people to think that the state's water is unsafe. He says that 99.7% of the state's utilities are federally compliant. Meeting the EWD standards is complex. West Virginia remediation specialist Mark Glass says controlling disinfectant byproducts is a concern for most utilities.
The problem therein lies if some of the disinfectants, such as chlorine, that are added can perform secondary reactions and can have another sort of health risk associated with them.
Bill Robertson says he stands by Paducah Water's end product.
Well, there's always more we can do. It's just at what cost. At some point, you reach the point of diminishing returns where it costs a whole lot of money to just make a very small incremental improvement in the water.
And as the EWG report suggests, carbon filters and other water purifiers placed on household sinks can reduce many contaminants. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in Paducah.
New research has found that high school athletes who specialize in one sport from an early age are at a much higher risk for injury than those who play more than one sport. Kara Lofton reports.
Okay, usually we don't do this, but in this case, I am an excellent subject to explain this story. For one thing, I started playing year-round travel soccer at about the age of 11. By the time I was in high school, I was playing on the varsity team and for a travel team. During the high school season, it wasn't unusual for me to go from high school practice straight to club practice.
Here in the clinic, we definitely see a lot of kids more and more that tend to stop all of the other sports that they're doing and really specialize early on. And don't stop playing and take a break from those sports at all throughout the year.
That's Eric Magrum, Director of Physical Therapy at the University of Virginia. He is also one of my physical therapists. You see, by the time I was 23, I had undergone 4 orthopedic surgeries to correct soccer-related injuries. 3 knees and a hip, if you're curious. Timothy McGween is a researcher at the University of Wisconsin. He led a recent study of more than 1,500 high school athletes, which, for the first time, documented the association between sports specialization and lower extremity injuries.
High school athletes who say, I'm going to focus on a single sport, even though they may play a couple sports, but really play one sport to the detriment of the others, they're 50 to 85% greater risk of injury in their lower extremities. So ankle sprains, knee sprains, muscle tendon pulls, stress fractures, etc.
Okay, let's focus on that statistic for a second. Kids who specialize early have a 50 to 85% greater risk for lower body injuries. The researchers found no difference, though, in injury rates from male to female athletes.
So, do you feel like you can make recommendations based on these findings? I mean, is it bad for kids to only play one sport?
Definitely. I mean, because one surgeon said to me, he said, hey, we don't want to talk about this too much because we've got to eat too. You know, we need kids playing year-round soccer, indoor soccer, or else we're not going to be able to fix as many knees.
The other risk of too early specialization is not just acute injury as a youth, but rather ending up with inactive arthritic adults. Matthew Silvis is medical director of primary care sports medicine at Penn State Health.
Whenever kids get hurt, burned out, just kind of exhausted from that sport of choice, they tend to stop exercising. They adopt unhealthy behaviors, which leads to unhealthy adulthoods. And so we really want to keep kids active in general. So not only are they getting, not only are a certain proportion of student athletes getting hurt repetitively, but we also worry about kids getting burned out and exhausted and tired, and just giving up on sports or staying physically active in general at a younger age. And we know that the long-term fallout of that in terms of their future health and their risk factors for chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, it's much higher.
He says promoting later specialization will not only help prevent injuries, but may actually help in skill development.
However, we really want our young children to stay as diverse as possible. And there's lots of great examples of professional athletes that have modeled that behavior of staying diversified throughout their sporting careers. We think that not only decreases their injury risk, but also actually helps them in skill development.
Silvis says you can be a competitive athlete and be very successful at a high level and balance that out with just healthy habits in general, such as taking time off from your sport each year and making sure there's time for free play. For me, that means moderation. I can't run or play soccer anymore, but I can go to boxing class a couple times a week. But in order for me to do something I love without pain, I have to include Pilates, yoga, and other cross-training activities to avoid aggravating old early specialization injuries. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedim Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine.
This is West Virginia Morning. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.